Welcome to the Learning to Mom podcast, Mom Friends. My name is Layla, and I inform first-time moms on pregnancy and birth so that they can be empowered and educated without feeling overwhelmed. I was one of the first of my friends to experience pregnancy, so I kind of had to figure out a lot of it on my own. So if that's you, then don't worry. Allow me to be your friend and give you the resource in your pregnancy that I wish I could have had in mine. Here you can get the answers to all your gazillion first-time mom questions without being judged, overwhelmed, or belittled. So if that sounds good to you, then let's get into it. On today's episode, I sit down with Maggie from Visitation Birth Doula. Maggie is a Catholic birth doula. She offers birth doula support, birth navigation, and postpartum prep. But today's episode will be covering a lot, ranging from questions like what is a doula and how do they differ from midwives, to how to prepare for postpartum, tips to prepare for postpartum, red flags to look out for in postpartum, and more. This episode will be super beneficial for you, my friends. But before we dive in, I want to say thank you for one, supporting this podcast, listening to it, and sharing it. And secondly, specifically, if you have ever left a rating or a review wherever you are listening to this on, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to kind of keep me encouraged and keep me going. So today I wanted to feature a review from Data Kroger that's titled Love Listening. And she says, I am 6 months and this podcast has been my go-to. I love hearing the different guests and love the takeaway that I can implement and write down. This is my favorite podcast for an expecting mom. Thank you so freaking much for absolutely making my day and just like, really, that just means so much that it's your go-to podcast and that it's your favorite one for an expecting mom. Like, I really take this podcast quite seriously and work my little booty off on it. So it really means a lot that I'm making a difference and I'm serving you well. So thank you so much for your kind words, because they make a big difference and just encourage me to keep going. If you want to be featured on a future episode of the Learning to Mom podcast, don't forget to leave a rating and a review wherever you listen to this podcast on. So now let's finally get into this week's episode. Hi, Maggie. Thanks so much for joining us today. So appreciate you being on.
Thank you so much for having me. I absolutely love this mission that you have, and it's an honor to be a part of it.
Aw, thank you. Well, I know that we have a lot to cover today. So I'll kind of just start off. Do you mind giving the listeners some insight into your background and your practice?
Yeah. So I'm Maggie. I'm married, my husband, Nick, and I have 3 kiddos. So ages 6. Gosh, yeah, she just turned 6. So 6 all the way down to 1.5. And we live in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. So I'd say probably about like 2 hours west of Washington, D.C. for people who aren't familiar with Virginia. When I was pregnant with my second, this amazing book came out called Made for This by Mary Hasseltine. I believe that's how you pronounce her name. I'm never good with last names. But she wrote this amazing pregnancy book that had come out like right at the time that I was pregnant, and my friend and I were pregnant at the same time. And she's like, oh, like I just started reading this book. You got to read this. And so she got it for me. And I, at the time, was like, oh gosh, maybe 30 some weeks pregnant, like 36 weeks probably when I started reading this book. And I was the first pregnancy book I had ever read, even though I was pregnant with my second. And it opened up the world of not just only pregnancy and the options for birth and, you know, what a doula was, what a midwife was. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter decided to come 2 weeks early at 38 weeks. And so I didn't like practically, I wasn't practically able to like apply a lot of things that I learned, but that's where I learned about the concept of a doula. So to read this, it was like something just clicked, and God was then like kind of poking and prodding in my heart, like, oh, like this is what you should be doing. And so a lot of things just fell very naturally into place. And I started my journey to being a birth doula, which is, you know, now coming up on 3 years since I began that journey. And it's absolutely amazing. And I love it so much.
So what all do you do as a birth doula?
A birth doula is somebody who actually Is there for the family, physically, emotionally, even spiritually, to be able to provide that type of support to the family throughout pregnancy, birth, labor, and even a bit of postpartum. So, I don't do anything medical as a doula. And I don't take the place of the husband as support as well. So a birth doula is someone who comes in as a member of the team. Yeah, yep, she's doing great. You're doing awesome. This is what you can do to be able to help her. These are some practical things that you're able to do, and provide some reassurance, with them.
Awesome. Okay. Now, how does that differ from a midwife?
Yeah, so a midwife is there to serve both mom and baby, especially once baby is getting ready to be born. So a midwife does focus more on the, I guess, medical quote, like not necessarily all the like medical things, but she does focus more on, what's going on with baby's heart rate, what's going on with mom's, blood pressure, her well-being, making sure baby is good and well, that baby is safely born into mom's arms or dad's arms, whoever's going to catch baby, and assessing to make sure baby's transitioning well into, this world, and also making sure mom's transitioning well after giving birth. And so midwives are there as well for that support, but more for that the physical support of all the different things
Okay.
that maybe need to happen for that. So doula tends to get there or meet a mom before a midwife arrives, but I leave before the midwife does, because the midwife's role really
Interesting.
begins once baby is, like, mom is pushing and baby is born, and then the midwife's
Okay.
role really, really begins then. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense, 'cause I do hear a lot of women saying and then I thought then it was time for me to call the midwife. Like she had been late, they'll labor for hours and then eventually get to a point where they call the midwife. What are the different kinds of doulas? Because I know that you're a birth doula and there's so many out there. There's even, I just heard last week, that they're, what is it? It's like end of life doulas.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I know. So birth doula helps primarily, obviously, with birth, and so being there during labor and birth. Postpartum doulas are there for the postpartum period, and again, it depends on the doula, but a lot will provide their services up to the first 3 months of postpartum, and so hire, however many hours the mom wants to hire that postpartum doula
Okay.
up to like the first 3 or 4 months of their postpartum. There's bereavement doulas that are there to help if a miscarriage happens or a stillbirth
Oh.
happens, and to help just be with the family, walk them through like the emotional process, the spiritual process that happens. And then one of my friends is an end of life doula, where she's there with the family. If a family member, whether it's, maybe like a grandmother or an aunt or an uncle or a mother or someone in their family is passing away from maybe a sickness or cancer, and is there to just help the family process and grieve, and just be an additional emotional support.
That would be so heavy. What a calling.
For
Wow.
sure, for sure.
All right. Another question that I have you for you regarding doulas would be, what are some misconceptions that people may have about doulas?
Yeah, I think a big one is the difference between doulas and midwives.
Okay.
So,
So we talked about that.
right. And it's depending too. Some people think that, well, I have a midwife, I don't need a doula, or I have a doula and I don't need a midwife. They're two different roles. It's also too where doulas serve hospital, home birth, birth center. And they're not just for first-time moms either. So they're really good for first-time moms. A lot of midwives, especially if you're thinking about having an out-of-hospital birth, like or a home birth, birth center, a lot of midwives will highly recommend or even require that if this is your first time having a baby, you have a doula, because labor is long for the first time. It
Yeah.
is long. And that way you just don't, like, your husband doesn't tire out as quickly. You're able to have that extra support. You're able to have someone else just be there. And even someone else to just kind of text and ask those questions too. But I've also been a doula for a lot of like moms too. I had a mom who, it was her fifth baby, and she still wanted a doula. It was a super fast birth, but for her, she knew she needed that extra support there because it calmed her husband down. So yeah, it, that is something where definitely it's not just for first time moms. It's not okay. just for home birth. It's not just for hospital. Yeah,
those are that's good. Now a common question that first time moms may ask regarding doulas is this, do insurance covers this? Do you, are you like, say you want to work with a doula, I guess, how does it financially, is it out of pocket? Is it through the hospital? Walk us through, I guess how that works.
Yeah. So you can always check with your insurance. I've had a couple of people where, depending on their plan or if they have like a health share sort of thing that they do, like a Christian health share, sometimes doulas can be like reimbursed, but how most doulas will work will be that you pay out of pocket or through HSA, like I accept HSA. And so, you pay out of pocket first and then the doulas will provide like all the like invoices or receipts or everything that needs to be itemized for then like once baby's born to give to you, to be able to then like, you can submit that to your insurance. And if they okay. cover it, then like they'll reimburse you for that. So that's, I've had a few families do that and it's worked out fine. Like I've had to provide like a very, very detailed like invoice,
yeah.
like even down to like the time, like how long the labor was, like the time I was that we met and everything. And so that's possible for sure. But it is for the most, for, I've not met a doula where like insurance just like pays them outright,
okay.
like, or covers that. You would need to like reimburse, get reimbursed by insurance.
Yeah.
Or like even too, a lot of people are starting to put it on their birth registry, like their baby registry.
Oh, that's good. What a great call out.
I think that's something I wish I had done, like a fund, whether it's a fund for a birth doula, a fund for a postpartum doula, a fund for pre or postnatal massage, or like those things to take care of
yeah.
you as the mama. Because like I, having three kids, y'all, I have donated so many baby clothes because people, like people will always give you baby clothes. Like they'll give you some old baby clothes of theirs to, you know, that they don't need anymore. Like there's like an abundance of baby items and clothes like that you can always
yeah.
get. But like having even just like funds for like taking care of you for like chiropractor visits, if that's out of pocket, or like pelvic floor visits or
yeah.
massage or, you know, lactation. If those things aren't covered by like your work or by your insurance, like those are things that are totally worth investing in and having those be on your baby registry. Absolutely.
Those were great. Yes. I retweet everything that you just said, Maggie. That was really good.
If you're a longtime listener of the Learning to Mom podcast, then you have heard me talk about Snuggle Shield before, and that's because they are worth paying attention to. Snuggle Shield is a nursing cover, car seat cover, high chair cover, and more, all in one. Plus, it's the only multi-use air filtering cover on the market. Their patent-pending design has taken off and is being sold in Nordstrom, Target, Macy's, Bye Bye Baby, and more. With their filters being four layers of level 3 surgical mask material that's tested for breathability and bacterial filtration efficiency, it protects your baby from germs, viruses, bacteria, smoke, pollution, pollen, pet dander, and fumes. These filters can be used up to 10 times or until visibly soiled, moist, or have absorbed a smell. So you get a lot of use out of them, especially for the Snuggle Shield being an all-in-one from a nursing cover to a high chair cover. Designed by a mom, nurse, and lactation consultant for her own babies to empower parents to travel safely with their babies. Head to snuggleshield.com to check them out and head to one of those stores I listed above to make sure you grab one. They are game changers. It's no wonder they have taken off as fast as they have. Don't forget, their link is in the episode show notes for your convenience.
Okay, so switching to postpartum preparation and care, because I know that you also specialize in that. What are some things that a lot of women are possibly just not aware of when it comes to what we call the fourth trimester?
Yeah, number one, a lot of the questions I get, I think is a big one, is breastfeeding. So
okay.
Just because a lot of people just say like, oh, it's a very natural thing. Like it's just, you're going to learn it. Well, you're working with another person that you can't practice with because they haven't been born. So that's one thing, is breastfeeding and just understanding like what you should be looking for, how to troubleshoot with breastfeeding. What are some things you can do to help make it easier during pregnancy to actually prepare you for that? And then also too, a lot of conversations that you actually should be having with your husband prior to having your baby. So, you know, what does the visitor situation look like? And, you know, what is help going to look like if you need to call somebody because you need some extra help? And it can be a lot, even if it's, you know, the after your husband goes back from paternity leave, what does that look like and who can you call? Or even, you know, having meals around. So just what are like the practical things that people can do? Because postpartum just isn't talked about a lot,
right?
Which is frustrating. It's something that a lot of moms like go into overwhelmed and like, no one told me about this. Like, why didn't anybody tell me about this? And that was me for sure. Like, why did nobody tell me that I was going to have night sweats all the time? And like, you know, or that, you know, like I was going to be lonely for a little bit because I would make that transition from being with others constantly, being an extrovert, to now being at home with my 1 month old, or like my, not even a month old, like my newborn, and just not having adult conversation. Like they're hard transitions for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Or I mean, TMI, but if you're listening to this, then you probably want to know TMI that like you're going to be bleeding for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, what's normal? What's not?
Yes. Like, yeah.
You know, when do I?
I was constantly Googling that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And like the Google rabbit hole is such a thing, because when you don't have it, like when you're stuck on the couch breastfeeding your baby or just snuggling your baby, and you're like, well, I don't like, is this normal? Is this not? Like, what do we turn to? We turn to Google because it's right there. We have that access, and it is a great resource, but you know, it can then lead to like, is that it? Like, wait, whoa, what about that? Now I have cancer? Like, what is going on? You know, because that's just like what it leads to. So yeah.
That is funny. Okay. So some things that a lot of women don't really consider when planning for postpartum is just recap that. So the planning of it, talking about expectations, visitors, meals, taking care of things around the house, anything else that we should add to that list?
Being intentional with your healing. So, and I didn't know this, and I don't think a lot of moms do, but there's this temptation to rush back to what we were before, or desire to get back to what we were before, whether that is, you know, the social life, whether that is our physical body and what it looks like or what it feels like, what it can do, what it could do. But keep in mind, and this is a great visual, so you've been growing not only a baby, but also a placenta, which is their lifeline that is in your womb. So a placenta, by the time baby is born, is about the size of a dinner plate, and that's been attached to your uterine wall. So when baby is born, the placenta detaches from the uterine wall. It no longer serves a purpose. Its sole purpose, that organ's sole purpose, is to provide baby with oxygen and blood. And once baby has been born, it's not needed anymore. So it detaches from the uterine wall, but it does leave a dinner size plate size wound on your uterine wall. And it needs to shrink back down and it needs to stop bleeding. And that's what causes most of that bleeding, as well as everything just like shedding out, all the other uterine lining just shedding out. And if people were to see that on the outside of, you know, you, if that was just like on your belly, people would be like, why are you walking? And why are you like getting up and doing all these things and doing laundry? And you're still recovering. Like whether it's you were swollen, whether you have stitches or not from maybe tearing a little bit, you're still recovering. Your organs are literally going back into their original place, because everything, baby becomes the priority when you're pregnant. So everything makes space. The woman's body, it's designed where the organs move out of the way and they compress and they compact. and your organs now are falling back into their original place. And they're not used to that. They've been squished for the past how many months when baby's been taking up space. So they're going to take time to adjust, to digest again, and to work again to their fullest capacity. So, and then also too, like your uterus is shrinking back down to its pre-pregnancy size, which is the size of a pear. It went from the size of a pear now, like to be holding a baby, a full-size baby that could be anywhere from like, you know, 6 to 10 pounds. And then it has to shrink back down to the pear again. So it takes time and you can't rush that. Like there's nothing you can do to rush through that. And the more you're to rush, it's going to actually take longer for your body to recover. So being intentional with that time and actually resting, it's going to help you so much, especially in the long run.
Yeah. Well, now when you say resting, I know that that means different things to different women. So what should women do? What is true rest?
I always tell moms that I work with or that I talk with, I call it the five, or I don't call it. It's been called this. It's called the 5-5-5 rule. So the first five days should be spent in bed. The only reason you're getting out of bed is to use the bathroom and then you get back in bed. It also.
Question. Sorry. Yeah. People can't see me raising my hand, but I just raised my hand. Like I was in school. Does those 5 days count? So if you're in the hospital and you stay those 3 days, those 3 days count?
Yeah. It's the first 5 days after baby's born.
So, okay.
Yeah. So first 5 days. So the only reason you should be getting out of bed is to use the bathroom and then you just get back in bed. Not only does it help with your bleeding, because that's when you're bleeding the heaviest. That's when you're swelling. You're the most swollen. You're working on bonding with baby. Your milk doesn't come in till day 3. So you're helping to encourage baby to breastfeed more and working on that relationship and that latch to allow that milk to come in. And then you're working on regulating the milk supply the first few days that it comes in. So those are the first 5 days. The second 5 days are you're up and around, you're just around your bed. So when you get up, you can move around your bed some because it's good to walk. You do want to walk because you do want the blood to flow and throughout your body. And so you're going to the bathroom, but you're just moving around your bed. You just try to avoid stairs as much as possible, especially those first couple of weeks, just because stairs are hard. They're hard on your body and they do tend to increase the blood that is happening, like the bleeding that's happening. And they like, it can just help with the, you know, swelling can come back and it's just not comfortable. So just around your bed. And then the last 5 days are just around your house. So if you're someone like me, where if it's a beautiful day outside, you can go outside, but just stay around your house or like walking around your house, but you're not like, you know, you shouldn't be doing dishes. You shouldn't be doing laundry, but you're be able to walk a little bit more around your house. And that's the first 2 weeks. And so that way you're able to, you're encouraging your body to gradually get back into movement, into motion. And you're just been picking up your baby. So you're slowly increasing what it is that you can be doing over time. So that way it's just making that gradual transition now into that postpartum period.
Okay. I had actually never heard of that. So regarding it's the 5-5-5.
Yeah.
When, like, I'm just thinking if I follow the 5-5-5 rule, I'm probably not even going to allow visitors, even my parents, to come over in those first 5 days. Like, where do you recommend, when would be a good time? Cause I remember, like, you know, when they came over, I wanted to come out and hang out on the couch and I wanted to greet them at the door. And
yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, so obviously everyone takes it, you know, like you don't have to follow it strictly. I've had people follow it strictly. I've had people not.
Okay.
I followed it strictly because I had a midwife tell me about this and I read about this and that's where I've like to start to teach it now. And I did this with my third and it did drastically change my postpartum journey with him versus with my other two, even though I had two older kiddos at the time. We had changed. I mean, it's a reason why you have a conversation beforehand. And even if it's just with yourself, also with your husband, but Do you want visitors? Why do you want visitors? Are the visitors who are there, are they there for you? Are they just there for the baby? Are they bringing you anxiety? Are they going to bring you help? Like, what is the reason for that? And so my mom came over. So for example, with the 555, like I had my mom just came over because she lived close by and she was watching my girls. So she brought them home. And she wanted to come and see me and also baby, but she also was there to help and she cooked and she did some laundry and took care of my kiddos when my husband went back as well too. But I also felt comfortable enough where like I didn't have to get out of bed. And so that was like, okay, versus like I had some people who wanted to come, but I was like, they wanted to come more for baby and not for me. And I felt like I would need to entertain them. And that was bringing me a lot of anxiety. And it was like, no, we're not going to do that this time. We did it with my first. It was anxiety ridden. And it was a hard conversation to have. But it did make for a smoother transition for not just me, but for my entire family postpartum. So it can lead to some hard discussions and hard decisions. But it is a time to think about your nuclear family. And like, what is going to serve you guys versus how you guys are serving others at that time, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And those first few days, I mean, you're walking around bleeding. You're half naked all the time because baby is just eating all the time if you're breastfeeding. And so, I mean, I was nude wearing a diaper.
Oh yeah.
And you're right. Like, please do not come over.
What is it? The first mommy and me matching. It's like, we're both in our diapers or whatever, you know, if you wear your Depends. And like, oh, absolutely. Or like, my thing now is like when I am postpartum, I bought nursing PJs that were not, I was so happy to not be in maternity clothes. And so I had nursing PJs that I just lived in, like you said, just topless because I'm just bonding with skin to skin with baby, which is so fun. I'm like, yep, I don't need people. I don't need this right now. And that's okay. That's okay. But it helped me with a bonding experience with my family. And those are moments that you cherish as a family, because especially if you have older kids, or even it's just your first baby, like those moments are so precious and you don't get them back. And like, people can see your baby anytime. They truly can. But those first few moments, like if it's something that you're on the fence on, like, I encourage just think about how you want to cherish them, because you don't get those first moments back. You don't redo them with that baby.
Yeah. And it's hard, right? Like, especially if you're a people pleaser or you feel, you know, like, well, so-and-so has helped so much. So-and-so is bringing a meal. It's hard it's hard to set those boundaries, but I would
agree. Yeah.
It's really needed.
We've done both before. We've done the people pleasing where like people were just over all the time and with our first, and it was overwhelming. And this last time, like a year and a half ago, we did it where only like a select people came over who were there to help, or people dropped off meals. Like either my husband answered the door or they left it in we left a cooler outside, and have people like put the meal in the cooler. So then you never have to like physically see them, and you're just like, that way you don't have to also like worry about getting dressed.
We did the cooler too, and I would highly recommend that route. And then we had like a little sign on our door that was just, you know, thank you so much. And I mean, and I wanted to see my friends, and I knew my friends wanted to see the baby. And the hardest part was like, they were bringing a meal and you kind of feel like you owe it to them to see it. But at the same time, like, I was truly naked walking around in a diaper, and teeth unbrushed, hair not washed. I was like, this is not happening.
Yeah. You shouldn't feel, also you just shouldn't feel like you should entertain. You should not be entertaining, and you definitely shouldn't feel like you need to be entertaining anybody who comes over to your house.
Have you seen those Instagram reels or Pinterest pins with the super cute nursery or playrooms that have those really awesome high quality climbing gyms in them? I know you know what I'm talking about. My Little Songbird has the best, not only climbing gyms, but Montessori inspired toys, activity walkers, wooden toys, and more. My Little Songbird is really your ultimate baby/toddler shop. I
am truly obsessed with them. I'm on their website constantly trying to see, oh, do I want this or do I want this? Would I like this? Literally, I want the entire store because everything is aesthetically pleasing and everything is just really high quality. Like, I could go on and on about how high quality their stuff is, but they're not just known for their high quality because they make their stuff using maple, pine, and birch wood, but they're also known for making their toys and play gyms incredibly aesthetically pleasing. This is the stuff out of your Pinterest board dreams. They also feature really beautiful and fun silicone toys like blocks, cup stacking, and my personal favorite, an adorable tea set. I'm in love with everything My Little Songbird does and makes, but don't just take my word for it. Go check it out yourself at mylittlesongbird.com. The link is in the episode show notes for your convenience. What are some, you know, for a first-time mom who isn't aware, you know, of what's normal, what's not, you're hit with all with some pretty intrusive thoughts that first time moms aren't really expecting. What are some signs that what you are experiencing is not normal and you should go seek help, whether that be postpartum depression or anxiety?
Yeah. So first off, postpartum, whether it's depression, anxiety, rage is even another one too.
Okay.
Those things. Just because if you hit 6 weeks postpartum, which for like most care, it ends at 6 weeks, like postpartum, or that's your only like visit is like at the 6 week mark. They just check to see if everything's physically fine. They're like, okay, see you, you know, have a good time. Enjoy your baby. They will screen you for postpartum depression or anxiety. And if it doesn't hit at that time, it doesn't mean you're in the clear. Most of the time it hits between 3 and 6 months and it can hit anywhere up to a year postpartum.
Whoa.
So yeah. And that's something that's not talked about enough. It is not known enough. And so that's why, like you said, so being aware of things to look out for. So, and this is something that your husband or even like close friends should know too. So if they notice that you're acting different, you're talking different, like you're just not yourself, then you should be seeking help. So if you're nervous about leaving your home more than you normally are, if you're nervous about taking baby anywhere, if you're nervous about anyone else touching baby, picking baby up, caring for baby, even if it's like, you know, you're trusted for, I'm not talking about like just like complete anybody strangers, but like if it's like, you know, people that you trust most, like in your circle that you would trust with your baby, like, you know, for some people, that's their mom, their best, a couple of best friends, maybe some family members and their husband. Like if you don't even trust them with it, because you're like, no, only I can do this. Like they only respond to me. Baby blues, which is, you know, your hormones are shifting, especially in that first week. After the first week or two, you shouldn't be crying at many things as much. And if you're crying every single day or things are making you cry very easily, that's a sign that, you know, you should be seeking some help because that could be a sign of the depression. If you don't want to get up and go out with some friends, you know, even baby sleeping, you just want to stay inside all the time, like that can be a sign of depression. So, things like that. And if someone's just noticing, like, you're just not as cheery as usual, those are signs like, okay, maybe you should go and you should definitely talk to your provider and just see what options are, or even talk to and find a good therapist that you trust that you can just talk with, whether that's like all online, over the phone, like in person, so you can help process some stuff as well too.
Okay. No, that's really great. So back to you being a birth doula, I know that, you know, a lot of your focus is inviting God into these births. So how or what are some ways that we can invite God into our births?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is think about and remember how God wants to be a part of this. He wants to be a part of your pregnancy and he wants to be a part of your birth. I think, and this was my mindset for a while until I read the one book, but how we have this mindset of, well, birth is just pain. It is just suffering. And that can be, whether it's intimidating, anxiety inducing, it can just bring up a lot of emotions for people. And almost even anger to God of like, why does it have to be this way? But being able to have that mindset of God wants to be a part of this, and start with inviting him into your pregnancy. Not everyone has, you know, rough pregnancies, but not everyone has smooth pregnancies. And even sometimes pregnancy is a roller coaster where you have really hard days. You have really good days. And, it is something where inviting God into those good moments, into those hard moments, and recognizing that you're co-creating with him, right? You've co-created this amazing new soul with him, that he's known for forever. And it's just amazing that you get to play a part in creation with that. And so by doing that, and the more you do that in pregnancy, the more easily you're going to want to do it in birth. And that can be by, you know, prayer, scripture, different quotes, different, you know, affirmations that you glean from that, but being able to just every day inviting him into your pregnancy, it's then going to translate into inviting him into your birth space that much more easily.
Yeah, that's so true. Something that I did in delivering Myla was I just had Christian like worship music going on. And the moment Matthew caught it on camera, and it's so great. It's like the moment that she's placed onto my chest and there's just this worship music playing in the background, and makes it look like it's a scene from a movie, because I have this like beautiful music playing. But it was so like, I loved it. It was great.
That intentionality there is so good. It is so good.
So tell me more about just what you offer, Maggie. I know you have the podcast, birth support, postpartum prep. Can I give the listeners a little tour of everything that you do?
Yeah. So my business is called Visitation Birth Doula. So, I physically serve in like the Northern Virginia, Shenandoah Valley area, and like a little bit of like West Virginia, Maryland. But so I do also virtually, so postpartum prep sessions and what they call birth navigation calls. So I've helped a lot of families to more intentionally dive into like postpartum prep. And so how, you know, they can intentionally prepare, especially in that third trimester. You're getting all that nesting energy. There's only so many times you can organize a room, fold those baby clothes, you know, and then you're like, okay, what do I do? Like, so you're able to just more intentionally prepare for that transition to postpartum to make it as smooth as possible. So we just talk about, you know, what are some practical ways to do that, some different tips and some tricks that they can do, and as well as time for them to ask any specific questions that they have about postpartum or anything that's like, this is just really giving me anxiety. Like, just tell me more about this. What can I expect?
Awesome. So my last question for you then, Maggie, is how can people find you?
Yes. So, I'm on Instagram at Visitation Birth Doula, and then Facebook as well. We actually, I just started a Facebook page that is Visitation Birth. So it's just a community of moms that you can ask to join, and you can ask all different questions or share, you know, different like your birth stories if they happen, or just have a community of like-minded moms that you can feel more like safe to ask those questions in. And then my website, visitationbirthdoula.com, we have different events that come up, and I have my email list that has a bunch of different like tips and resources that you can utilize as well too, to just help your journey be what it is that you want to be smoother. Just you feel more prepared, you feel more knowledgeable, and you feel more confident.
Great. Well, I so appreciate you coming on today and letting me ask you a gazillion questions. It was so beneficial, and I know that so many women will really resonate with a lot of what you said.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's become such a passion of mine. And yeah, it's such a joy to be able and a blessing to share it with as many women and families as I can. So thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Learning to Mom podcast. Don't forget to leave a rating and review, and I will catch you again next week.